Thank you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Oh,
You build me up and make me known. Oh, fortified and opened up. Pour me out and fill my cup.
It all belongs to you, Jesus. It all belongs to you. Father, we just surrender ourselves to you all over again. We say yes to you, to your will, and to your way. Come, Father, into this place by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence. And we invite you to do what you would want to do in our hearts. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. It's all about you, Jesus. Just in this moment, in the quiet of this moment, every eye closed, find yourself alone with the Lord. And those things that have been trying to pull you down, those worries, those distractions, those fears that have been trying to draw your attention away from the only one who matters, just let those things disappear. And let the one who has conquered sin and death begin to fill your heart and fill your mind. Let yourself begin to trust him. The one who is victorious, the one who is almighty, the one who is powerful. He has the final say. He has the final say. Let's sing that chorus again. Amen, amen. And as you sing that, I want you to picture the victory in your life. Picture Jesus bringing victory into your life. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing it again. Let's give God one more big hand of praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. I feel such a strong anointing in this place. The presence of God is here. What a glorious gift that we can come on a Sunday morning and know that every single time God will be here. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He is always with us. We want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. If you're tuning in online or by television, thank you for joining us. Carpenter Shop is a multicultural, multi-generational church whose mission is to love, win, build, and send. We got to do that a little bit this week as we gave away thousands of pounds of potatoes. I hope you got to take part in that. That's the second time we've done that in the past few weeks, and we know that it is so needed during this difficult time that's happening all over the world. The Bible says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And as we continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings, please know that there are several ways that you can give. You can give by text. You can give by our My Church app. Or you can give on our website. Of course, you can always give by cash or check. If you're writing a check, we ask you to write your email in the memo line so we can send you a giving receipt. If you're watching online, there should be a link in the comment section below. If you're in the building, we invite you to come forward and drop your tithes and offerings in the buckets. May God bless you as you give.
I'm looking for it, George. I just don't see it anywhere. What? It's up higher? No, it's not there. Is it lower? No, I don't see it there either. George, are you sure it's out here? Oh, man. George, I see our new friends. Hey, let me call you back. You guys remember George, right? You met him last week. He's my buddy out in the wilderness. He's the smartest monkey there is. He knows everything. Man, we've got to be quiet out here today. We are in the wilderness and we are on another epic adventure. Guess what we're looking for? We are looking for the promised land. What's that you say? What's the promised land? Come on, everybody knows about the promised land. I mean, George has been telling me about it ever since I got here so many years ago. He said that he had been praying and God had sent him a message and told him all about this awesome place called the Promised Land. And there was everything there that a little monkey could possibly want. I've been out here looking, but I just can't find it. I don't know where it's at. Whoa. I think I see it. Wow, look how awesome that looks. Oh, you guys want to see it? Man, check it out. Look in here. Wow, do you see that? Man, look at those cool tree houses. Oh, I'm sure the monkeys would love that. George and his family will fit right in there. Wow, look at that, guys. Look at all those trees full of bananas. Man, they'd have more food than they knew what to do with. Wow, look at that waterfall. Man, they'd have plenty of fresh drinking water. They'd never have to worry. Is that what I think it is? This really is the promised land. They've got Papa John's pizza. Man, monkeys love their pizza. George was right. What else do you see out there, guys? Man, let's see. Uh-oh. Do you see that? Man, I see a bunch of hyenas over there. And look, there's lions with the big teeth. Maybe we should just turn back. Maybe this isn't the right place for us. I know George said it was the promised land, but all I see are hungry lions and hyenas, and they don't like bananas. They don't like Papa John's pizza. They like monkeys. We can't go in there. I gotta call George and tell him. George, hey, it's me. Yeah, we found it, George. Me and our new friends, we found the promised land. But there's a problem. There are giant lions and hyenas in there. There is no way that we can make it past them. But George, you're not seeing what I'm seeing. You don't see the teeth on these things. They'll eat you like a little popcorn snack. Yeah, I know you said what God said, that this was the promised land. It was there for us. I know you said that, but... What? Just trust him? Just trust God? Is that what you're telling me? I don't know, George. I mean, can we really trust him like that? I need some proof that what he says is really going to come true. Yes, George, yes. I've got my Bible. I've got it right here. What? This is just like a story in the Bible? And whatever's in the Bible is true? I tell you what, George. Me and our new friends, we're going to hear that story from the Bible that you're talking about. And we're going to see if those guys trusted God. And if they trusted God and everything worked out good for them, you know what? I bet we can trust God too. Thanks, George. I'll call you back soon. Guys, let's take just a minute and open up our Bibles and let's hear about this story and see if we can always trust God.
Well, today is week two of Epic, where we are looking at the adventures of God's people in the wilderness. Today's Bible story reminds us that I can trust God. You can find the story in Numbers chapter number 13 through Numbers chapter number chapter number 14. So today in our story, the people of God have reached the edge of the promised land, the land called Canaan, the promise that God had given them. And they're right there on the edge, and Moses picks 12 people, one from each tribe, to go and spy out the land. Moses said, hey, go and look and spy and tell me, what did the people look like? How do they live? What is the land like? And tell me, what, bring some fruit back from the land. So the 12 people, they went in as spies, and they came back, and they stood before Moses and all the people to give their report. And they found beautiful fruit, figs and pomegranates and grapes, and they said, surely, yes, this land has some beautiful fruit, but the people are powerful, and the cities are large and strong. I don't think we should go there. And there were two spies named Caleb and Joshua, and they said, wait a second, hold on. We should go take over that land. God is going to help us. We've been promised this land. We can do it. But the other spy said, no, 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 no. Those people are way too powerful. There is no way. We will surely lose. So Caleb and Joshua continued to try to convince the people that they should go where they had been sent, that that was what God had promised them, that they should trust God. But you know what? They were afraid because of what the people looked like. They were afraid of the people in that land. Have you guys ever been afraid of something before? Something's been seemed a little scary, and I need a volunteer. Which one of you wants this? Is it going to be Lexi? All right, Lexi, do you trust me? Okay, all right, will you come stand right here in front of this table right here? And I have a bag of water here. Lexi, you still trust me? All right, she still trusts me. So what do you think will happen? I have a pencil and I have a bag of water. What's going to happen when I poke this pencil into this bag of water? So it's going to be pretty tough to trust me if I say I want to put this over your head and stick these pencils through the bag. But I'm telling you, you can trust me. This is a little scary, but you can trust me, right? All right. So turn and face everybody. And your hair's so beautiful, I don't want to get it wet. All right, you get ready? On the count of three. One, two, and Lexi, you didn't get, well, you are getting a few drops. You didn't get wet. The water stayed in the bag. All right, let's see if you trust me again. All right, you ready? Here we go. One, two, and this is a bag that Jackson used yesterday. I just realized. One, two, three. All right. Good job, Lexi. If you want the full demonstration, watch the video, and there is no water involved. Jackson does not get wet. But we can still trust God, even when things seem scary, even when we don't understand why things are happening, we still know that we can trust God. See, Romans 8:28 says that God works all things together for our good. Even when it's something that is not, doesn't seem like it's good, God can still change it and work it out for our good. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you that you work everything out for our good, that we can trust you just like Caleb and Joshua trusted you, even in a scary place. God, I pray that you'd help us to remember, no matter what we're going through, that we can trust you. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to have a video, and then we're going to have a dance in just a few seconds.
Even though the Assemblies of God Fine Arts Festival for our district and at the national level was canceled, we could not let the opportunity to share God's love and His amazing grace pass us by. Please watch this original worship dance performed by Ladare in memory of baby Eliza. Stay. stillbirth affects about 1 in 100 pregnancies. Each year, about 24,000 babies are stillborn in the United States. That is more than 10 times as many babies that die from sudden infant death syndrome. If you are someone who has suffered such a loss, or if you know someone who has, will you tell them that there is hope in Jesus?
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees, or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. To my knees, or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Stillborn, but stillborn. Amen. And Mom is here today. Ashley, would you please stand this morning? Glad to have you with us today. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Mom and family. Praise God. God is good. Amen. All the time. All the time, what? God is good. He's good all the time. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you today with thanksgiving in our hearts. And Lord, we give you praise for who you are, for what you do. You do all things well, even though sometimes we don't understand. Lord, you're the only one that can take the negative things of this world and turn them over for our good. For all things work together for the good of those who love you, those who are called according to your purpose. And so, Father, in the midst of this gathering today or online, if there are individuals who are facing challenges, loss, grief, hardship, difficulty, Lord, would you let them know that you are the one who takes all things and uses them for our good, even though we may not understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, so glad you're here today, and let me just give a shout-out to Pastor Gary and Miranda. We wanted to share with you guys, you know, when we're in this season of pandemic and things are a lot different, we don't want to just say, hey, well, we don't want to be doing kids' ministry. Right after we stream live today, we stream live for kids' ministry. And today, somebody say today. Today marks the day where God has opened up the door for Carpenter Shop International Church to be broadcast in 106 nations of the earth just this past week on King Television. So, you know, I couldn't help but think many, many years ago I was sitting right over here where our guests are today. We'll introduce them to you later in the service. And Pastor Kim Norris was here from Indiana, and he prophesied over me. He came over at the end of the service, and he said, would you please stand? And I stood, and he prophesied. He said, there's a unique anointing on this house for the Middle East. And I thought, wow, that's kind of strange. And I stood there and I tried to take all that in, even though it was a short prophetic word. I tried to take it all in. There's a unique anointing on this house for ministry in the Middle East. And it wasn't but about just a few weeks beyond that, then I was asked by Pastor Ong in Washington, Cassandra's father, I was asked by him to go to the Middle East. Amen. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to go, because I thought, well, God, maybe this is part of it. And I had the privilege of ministering in one of his churches over in Beirut, Lebanon. And then this week, we received an invitation from a major television network called King Television to broadcast in 106 nations that cover, guess where, the Middle East. Amen? So we thank God for that. We thank God for that. God is good. He does all things well. Coffee? How many of y'all had your coffee this morning? Hot or cold? Come on, hot or cold? You know, I say sometimes Pastor Joy and I will go to Starbucks. We love Starbucks, and we love all the people in the church that give us Starbucks gift cards. Hint, hint. Come on. And I have some in my car. She has some in her car. And all of us, both of us, are fully loaded when we go to a Starbucks. You got a card? I said, no, I don't have a card. You got your card? Because I'm holding my card back. Amen? I'm using my card when I'm by myself, and I get the venti size, the big dog drink, okay? But we always ask each other when we drive into the parking lot, hot or cold? Because we order basically the same thing, but we always want to know hot or cold, okay? So we have to settle that before we get to the drive-through place and get our order there, hot or cold. But you know what? We don't want, one way we don't like coffee, and you know what? I love coffee, and we get our coffee shipped in from Seattle, but we're not worried about that any longer. We're going to cancel our orders because we're believing, hint, hint, we're believing that when Pastor Josh and Cassandra go back to Seattle here in just a few weeks, that we won't need an order. They'll just send us coffee. Amen? We're just believing God for that. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, yes, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm going to have my coffee sent to me from Seattle. Amen? So we're believing God for that. We always, you know, we want coffee hot. Pastor Joy makes a full pot sometimes. And I used to say, why are you making a full pot? You know, I'm going to drink two cups maybe. She's going to drink a couple of cups. But she'll take that extra coffee from the full pot, put it in a carafe, put a little saran wrap over the top, and stick it in the refrigerator. And then sometime that evening, guess what I'm going to have? A big old straw slurping down some iced coffee. Like it cold or hot. But how many of you like your coffee lukewarm? Anybody? Oh, come on. Why don't you like it lukewarm? Because it's just not designed for that, is it? Can I just tell you something else? You and I as believers are not designed for lukewarm either. Amen? We're not. We're designed to be hot. Amen? That's God's design. Sometimes we find ourselves cold, but we don't want to be lukewarm. We've been taking a look at the churches of Asia Minor, the book of Revelation. Today is our last one. And so I want to speak to you for a few moments on the Laodicean church. Revelation chapter 3, the verses are 14 to 22. I'm in the New International Version. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who's victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I love sometimes in my own personal life, my personal time of the Word of God, I love to turn to the Message. The Message translation, Eugene Peterson's work, a translation of Scripture that really speaks a current language and helps me to kind of remove the blocks and understand. So let me read this to you from the Message. I thought it quite interesting. Write to Laodicea, same passage, verse 14 and following. To the angel of the church, God's yes, the faithful and the accurate witness, first of God's creation, says this, I know you inside and out. I find little to my liking. You're not cold, you're not hot. Far better to be either cold or hot. You're stale, you're stagnant. You make me want to vomit. You brag, I'm rich, I got it made, I need nothing from anyone. Obvious that in fact, you're a pitiful, blind beggar, threadbare, homeless. Here's what I want you to do, buy your gold from me. Gold that's been through the refiner's fire, then you'll be rich. Buy your clothes from me, clothes designed in heaven. You've gone around half naked long enough. And buy medicine for your eyes from me so you can really, really see. The people I love, I call to account, prod and correct and guide so that they'll live up at their best. Up on your feet then, about face, run after God. Look at me. I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear me, call and open the door. I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I have conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's my gift to the conquerors. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. There's something very interesting about this letter to the pastor of the church at Laodicea. That is the fact that he says, as he's done in others, as you recall, I know your deeds. You know, that's the reality of every one of us that's in this room today. You know, God knows us. The Bible says the hairs on our head are numbered. God knows everything about you. We talked about those incommunicable qualities that God has last week when we said some of them, one of them was what? Omniscience. He knows everything. And he knows everything about you, and he knows everything about me. And it's interesting, he says to each church, I know your deeds. But this church specifically, he says, I know your deeds, and he doesn't commend them for anything. Not one single word that is spoken that is favorable
of this church, this body of believers. That's quite unique because every other church, even though there was wretched sin, there was hypocrisy, there was apostasy, there was immorality, there was all kinds of sinful things, there was still something that could be said of each one of them, something that the Lord found some value in. But not this church, not Laodicea. Let's explore the verses. Let's take a look at the verses today. Verse 14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen. These are the words of the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Christ simply offers, as he usually does, he pulls out his license. He gives his authority. He shares his credential with this church. He says, I'm the one who has the right. I'm the faithful. I'm the true witness. He says, so be it. He's the Amen. He's the final word, if you will. In fact, he claims rulership to God's creation. Why? Because Jesus is God, and he was there in the beginning. I love that counterpart verse. Remember what it says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, if you flip to the New Testament, as it begins in the Gospels, in John, as he begins, he pins a verse that is like a New Testament counterpart to the creation verse, Genesis 1:1. He says, in the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then drop down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we've seen his glory, John says, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I can't tell you, I remember as I was almost an adult, I guess, when the light turned on for me and I realized as a follower of Christ, I realized as a believer that the same one, Jesus Christ, is really God in the flesh. We have this tendency, if we're not careful, in days gone by, days that I came up in, we had what I call flannel graph theology. They didn't have all the bells and the whistles that we have now. They didn't have all the video capability and talking to monkeys through the banana phone. And they didn't have all of that. So they used what? Remember flannel graph? Remember how we used to sit in the Sunday school classes or the sunbeam classes in the Baptist church and we learned about the Father. He was the one with the white hair, the gray hair. We learned about the Son. He was the younger guy who was on the right-hand side of the Father. And then we learned about the Holy Spirit. Ooh, he was the cloud above both of them. Just kind of some mystical unknown that we really didn't have much connection with. We didn't understand it. So there was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we're not careful, we will grow up as adults and we'll still have this trichotomy. We'll still have this division. We'll still have this lack of understanding that what Jesus said is really true. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father because what? I and the Father are one. So Jesus Christ has always been. He is eternally existent. He's always existed. He was there when he said, let there be light, and there was light. He's eternally existent. And he became flesh. You see, it didn't all start on a little starry night in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. Jesus has always been. That was the time in space when the Word just took on flesh. He took on flesh and joined with his highest form of life and tabernacled among us. He set his tent up on earth, as the Bible teaches us. He walked among men. And he did so for some 30 plus years and died on a cross, a cruel death. And he was placed in a borrowed tomb and he rose again. The grave could not hold him. He rose again. In fact, you're a part of the only religion that can boast a leader, a founder who's still alive today. He's very much alive. He's very much alive. Your songwriter said, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. And just because we're in a pandemic period and just because we're in terrible times of evil in the earth today doesn't mean that it's caught God off the throne. He's very much alive today. You know what I've discovered? Just this past week, I pushed the news to the side and stopped watching news so much. And you know what? It fired up my faith because I choose to believe the report of the Lord. God is still in control. He's not been caught asleep. And guess what? He's not going asleep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's very much alive. He's alive enough today that if you're here, he's willing and able to touch you and heal your body. If you're alive today and you're here and you're going through emotional challenges and crises in your life, he's very capable today of touching you and invigorating you with the power of his Spirit so that you can walk out of here saying like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I'm glad I went to church. Amen. I put on Facebook this morning, today's Sunday, Walmart or church? Amen? Because there's a lot of people, you know, they haven't made it back to church. And I understand reservation and I understand, you know, I need a little time. But I'm a little frustrated when I see people who load down social media with all of their activities and where they're going during the week, but they can't find a space in the house of my God today. Come on, let us not forget, give up the habit of gathering together as some have done. COVID should not silence the church. COVID cannot shut the church down. COVID cannot come against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ because the church is alive and the church is well. Amen? Come on, give the Lord praise today. Verse 15 and 16. Jesus says, this founder of the church, this one who has the authority to speak to the church says, hey, I know your deeds. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Remember what the message said? I think it said, you're stale. You're stagnant. And you just make me want to throw up. We will discover that Jesus uses the layout of the land. Often he did this in parables, remember? He would be walking the earth. In that part of the earth, he would be walking that holy land, and he would be using the things of the earth to teach valued lessons. He's going to do the same thing here, even though it's not a parable. He's going to do the same thing here as he speaks to this church in Laodicea. Laodicea was a chief city located in a place called the Lycus Valley in Phrygia. And in that area, there were three major highways that passed through that area. Now, come on, you can identify what we're talking about. U.S. 64, I-95, Rocky Mount. That's what we're talking about. Three major highways intersected through this area of the earth. And Laodicea was a prominent place. It was highly commercial. It was a wealthy city. It was a city of wealthy financiers and bankers. There were millionaires, even in those days, there were millionaires that made their home and did their business in Laodicea. Many millionaires there who combined their wealth to build fabulous theaters and huge stadiums and lavish public baths and spas and fabulous shopping centers. I know you thought that that only existed in your day and time, but listen, if you travel with me or Pastor Joy and go to the land of the Bible, we'll take you in places where in going back in time, you can see that they lived very luxurious lives. And they had amazing stadiums and arenas. Nothing, something that, you know, would put the Scope to shame or the Hampton Coliseum to shame. They had major places where they would go for entertainment. And there were rich people in Laodicea. There were wealthy people there, banking officials. In addition to that, being a banking center and a financial hub, like a New York City, if you will, Laodicea was known for manufacturing woolen garments, and they were also noted for creating an eye salve that would improve vision. What do we do today? We use glasses. But in those days, they had an eye salve that had its origin in Laodicea, that if you put the salve on your eyes, it was said that the salve would cause you to see better. Think about this. Now listen to what Jesus says. Jesus speaks to them. They did have an inadequacy, though. They had something that was very inadequate. Even though they had the best of the banking world, they had the best of the entertainment world, the coliseums, the arenas, and everything. Even though they had all of these wonderful things and they were a wealthy city, they had a major problem with their water system. Think about this. Major problem with their water system. Laodicea received their water through an aqueduct coming from a spring 4 miles away. And they would run that water through the aqueduct. Close to Laodicea was a neighboring city called Hierapolis. And it's easy for you to remember studying the Bible because Hierapolis starts with the letter H, and it is known for what type of water? Hot water. Pastor Joy and I have been to Israel many times, and I remember going one time when she was not with me, but we went to the hot springs of the Sea of Galilee area. The Sea of Galilee is known for hot springs where people fly in from all over the world with prescriptions written by doctors to go to the hot springs of this area and to stay in those waters for several days because of the wonderful minerals that are in those waters. And listen, as God is my witness, the first time I got in there, it was almost scalding hot. Coming out of the earth, you could see the springs bubbling in the pool that I was in. And it was not coming from a faucet and not going through, a water heater. It was natural water coming from God's earth that was hot, hot as bath water. So Hierapolis, to one side of Laodicea, was known for hot springs. Guess what is located on the other side of Laodicea? A place named Colossae. What was Colossae known for? Starts with the letter C. It was known for cold water. How many of y'all have ever been to a cold spring to go swimming? Anybody ever been down to the springs of Florida? We went down, Pastor Joy and I lived there for many years and raised our kids in Central Florida in those early days when we were preparing for the ministry in Bible college. And we used to go to a place called Tarpon Springs. And man, I'm going to tell you something. If you go to Tarpon Springs and you get out and you pull off your shirt and you got your trunks on, you better not jump in. It'll take your life. You would take your breath immediately. Tarpon Springs was so icy cold. When we got to Tarpon Springs for the first time, I looked and people were sitting all around the pool. And the question was, why aren't they in the pool? Is there a gator in there? No, they're not in the pool because today it's so frigid they can't stand it. Where does the water come from? From the earth. So here's Laodicea on the one side. In the south, the north, they have two places that water comes from. One of them produces hot. The other one produces cold. Laodicea has a problem with their water. You know what their water is? It's tepid. So they have to pipe their water in through an aqueduct because people can't stand the use of tepid water. It was tepid water. It was neither cold nor hot. In other words, Jesus brings an indictment on this church for their spiritual condition. He uses the layout of the land, and he teaches the people. And he says to Laodicea, he says, you've allowed the lavish, the worldly, the lifestyle of society to successfully come in and change your spiritual inheritance, change your spiritual destiny, change your spiritual influence that has impacted you. Rather than you impacting the city has impacted you as a church. And Jesus reminds them that they do have their own idea of what they think they are. How many of you know that there's some people who just think they got it all in order and they may not have it all in order? There's some people that think they're doing God a favor by getting up on a Sunday morning and checking into the church at 10 o'clock and they do their one-hour duty and somehow think they're doing God an amazing favor just by showing up. God doesn't want us just to reduce this Christian walk with Him, this walk with God, down to just something that we do an hour a week. He wants to walk with us day after day, night after night, moment by moment as we walk in the Spirit and fulfill His plans and purposes for our life. He wants a living, breathing relationship with His creation. He doesn't want us to live a life that is tepid or lukewarm. He says it makes Him sick. He says it makes Him sick. He said, you say, verse 17, I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Laodicea was proud of what they had. There's a danger if you're not careful of becoming a church that thinks you're all that in a bag of chips and think you're just the best thing going. But what you need to make sure is going is an open opportunity for the Spirit of God to move. I was talking just weeks ago with the pastor who was a part of a church of a couple of thousand people. They had everything going in their favor. They had all the best of everything. And he said, but here's what's happened, Wallace. He says, we've become a major church of influence. We've got a lot of people. We're doing a lot of things well. But he said, what happens when we come together? He said, we've become a mechanical organism. There's no room for the Holy Spirit to invade our plans. plans and our purposes. Nobody speaks in tongues. There's no prophecy that ever comes. People don't come to the altar. They come in the service, they do their little hour, and they walk out the door, and God's not getting any glory in that place. No people's being healed, no people being set free, no blind eyes open, nobody's being saved. We've become a machine. We have to be careful. If you find yourselves in church just wondering, you know, when's 12 o'clock coming? When am I going to get out of here? What am I going to do this afternoon? Then maybe you're not as on fire as you think you are. What happens to having a broken heart for the lost? What happened to having a heart for mission? You know, I can imagine what you guys are going through. We have young missionaries with us today. I can't imagine what you guys are going through, because everybody's calling you up saying, hey, you know, we're not going to have you, we're not going to have you, we're not going to have you. And all of a sudden, as an evangelist or as a missionary, your whole calendar is canceled. Why? Because the church has unlocked lips and closed their eyes to the work of the kingdom that is yet before them. We cannot stop giving. Why? Because Pastor Anoli's right. Give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We can't stop serving. Why? Because God wants us to serve. We can't stop sending missionaries. Why? Because there's still a lost world who needs a message, a flame on the lips of missionaries that can tell them Jesus is the way in the land in which he's called them to. So we can't be silent. We must be on fire for the things of God. We must be on fire for the things of God. You say I'm rich, but Jesus says, listen, I've got something else to say to you. I say you are wretched. Look at what he says here. I say you're wretched. What does wretched mean? Wretched means, in the original language, to become hard and calloused. The Holy Spirit can't get in there anymore because you've become hard and embittered and calloused, and the Holy Spirit can't penetrate your spirit. He says you're pitiful. That's the process of becoming miserable, like a drunk out in the cold who doesn't even know that he's drunk. He's so out of it, he doesn't even know. He can't give an account for where he was or what he'd done or who he was with or what he did with them. Why? Because he's pitiful. He's poor, the status of a beggar who will search for the crumbs as his next meal. Jesus says to the church, you're blind. In other words, you lack spiritual discernment as one who's walking in the darkness. And then Jesus says, you're naked. It means simply to be without clothes, dressed in rags, nothing to wear. Jesus is pointing out spiritual characteristics. They were not clothed in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. They were just clothed in the society's influence, clothed in the cultural demands, clothed in everything. So they blended so well with the city and the influence of that city that they could no longer be recognized as different. Verse 18, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, white clothes to wear so you can cover that shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Notice what he uses there. He uses everything. They were known for textiles, so in the woolen industry, so he uses the clothing. He speaks to them. They made the salve so people could see better. So he says, I counsel you to get it from me so that you can see. He speaks from the culture again, the context of where they live, and we understand that. Verse 19, to those whom I love, I rebuke, I discipline. So be earnest and repent. Be earnest and repent. Jesus obviously tells them that his rebuke to them is because he actually loves them. You know, I don't know what God's doing in the earth today. I scratch my head every day and say, Lord, where are we? What's going on? I mean, this isn't normal. This isn't normal. You know, we're gaining people every week, but could it be that the enemy is just going to use COVID to tell the church to stay home? Because if you can tell us to stay home, guess what? If you stay home, then you don't rub shoulders with people of like precious faith. If you stay home, no one prays with you in the bathroom when you were weeping, sitting there on the toilet, and they heard you, and they asked you, and you were going through a hard time, and she understood you, and she prayed with you, and she laid hands on you. If you stay home, nobody opens the altar and says, come, so that you can be healed. If you stay home, you miss what God intended. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as all the more as you see the day approaching. Go to church. And COVID shut the church down. COVID is trying to cancel missionaries. COVID is trying to silence the evangelist. But guess what? Jesus died for the church. The church is not out of business. The church today should be looking with opportunity. I'm saying every week of my life, God, what are you doing? God, please open doors. Open doors that men can't shut. And all of a sudden, bingo, God hits it right in the bullseye and puts you on 106 nations in one phone call. God is doing things, incredible things. You know, can I just tell you something? Pastor Gary and Miranda are working harder than they've ever worked before, up in a room that just looks green. Producing messages, producing programs, so that those who have their phones or their computers or those who are at home can still get the message. My prayer is, God, take what we're doing, and God, do even greater than you've done before. Amen. I can't wait till the day when this place is piping hot in the Holy Ghost and the place is jammed to the gills and the altars are full and people are coming in the door saying, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? That's what I'm hungry for. I'm hungry for revival. I'm hungry for the moving of the Holy Spirit. I'm hungry for prophetic songs. I'm hungry for God's people to get set free in the Holy Spirit and worship Him and not worry about what's going on in the world. Worship God. Put Him first. Amen? But you don't do that if you're lukewarm. You only do that if you're hot for the things of God. Oh, you know what passion is like. Pick any sport, pick any hobby, pick any pastime. Remember what it was like when you fell in love with fishing or fell in love with golf or fell in love with some craft that you do? Remember what it was like? All you could do is just that, over and over and over and over again. That's all you did. Every time you turn around, that's what you're doing. You know why? Because you were hot with passion for that very thing. But then what happened? Well, you kind of cooled off. Some of you have done your relationships at home like this. You were hot for it one time. Come on, sir. You were hot for it one time. But then all of a sudden, you know, you got men, you got to watch men now. Men are tough. They like to seize the opportunity, and then once they got it, you know, they got it. That's why they hang deer heads on the wall. Boom! Then you hang it up on the wall. You're not hunting for him anymore. He's yours. Okay? Because men are that way. And once we see something, we have a tendency to back off. I know people. We had a yard sale just a couple of weeks ago. And I know people were looking through things. Oh, they were looking at antlers that were out there, deer antlers. And on the back of the deer antlers, it was 1987. And I got up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I had my 30-06. And from 165 yards away, bingo, I knocked him down. He fell to the ground, and he weighed this. And they were writing all the story. Why? Because they were passionate for deer hunting. But guess what? Now those antlers are in the yard sale. You know why? Because it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. And yeah, I'm preaching to the choir here, but guess what? We cannot allow our relationships to function that way. Just because you have her don't mean she still don't want to be treated like a queen. Doesn't mean that she still doesn't want you to pamper her. Doesn't mean that she still doesn't want you to scrub her feet with a salt scrub or a sugar scrub. Take your pick. Come on, I'm sitting in the bathtub sometime, and all of a sudden I have a foot shoved up in my chest. Hey, rub this for me. You know what? I know what that means. Grab the sugar scrub, buddy. Okay? Grab the sugar scrub. And you do that, guess why? If you're hot. But if you're lukewarm, You just take a bath and get out. Okay? If you're lukewarm, come on, I got husbands getting miserable here this morning. I got wives going, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. I bet you there's more women's feet scrubbed tonight than's been scrubbed in a long time. I bet you I got 2 feet to scrub too. Come on, somebody. But because why? Because it's important to be passionate about what you love, what you say you love. And listen, church, if you love the Lord's work, then what's going on in your prayer life? If you love the Lord's work, then what's going on with your life in the Word? If you love the Lord's work and His kingdom, then what are you doing with your finances? Are you supporting missionaries? Are you giving tithe and offering? Are you watching the windows of heaven flow open so that you can be blessed to be a blessing? Are you a conduit and a channel that God can flow through? If you're hot and on fire for the things of God, every area of your Christian walk with God should be functioning at full capacity. Come on, somebody. Every part of your walk with God should be moving forward. Jesus said this in verse 20. Here I am. Check this out now. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. We'll have some chitlins and taters or something. We're going to have something to eat. You don't have to like chitlins. You can have something else. But he says, I want to come in and I want to sit with you and fellowship with you and connect with you. From a practical sense, check this out. If Jesus is knocking on the door of the church, where's he at? He's outside the church. He's certainly not in the church. And so this is a tremendous indictment on this body of believers. He has to say to them, listen, I'm on the outside of you guys. I'm on the outside of your relationship. I'm on the outside of your facility. I'm knocking on the door. I desperately want to come in and I want to fellowship with you and connect with you and dine with you and love with you, but you will not let me in. He who has ears, verse 22, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. I can't help but think that God is using what we're going through right now to shake the church up. Amen? To shake the church up. Verse 21 and 22, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Listen, we got to get away from this idea that, well, yeah, when I was 12 years old, I walked down to the front of the church and the preacher prayed with me and they put my name on the church roll. Honey, your name can be on the church roll. You can be a deacon in the church and you can bust hell wide open. Jesus Christ wants relationship with his people and he wants you to be hot. Or cold. If you're cold, then he can send the Holy Spirit and break your heart for him. But if you're lukewarm, gosh, that's dangerous. If you're lukewarm, that's so dangerous. To the one who's victorious, I'll give you the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. This is not universalism here. Everybody's not going to heaven. I know that doctrine's out there. How would God send his creation that he loves so much? Why would he send him to hell? He doesn't send anybody to hell. He gave you free moral choice. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Come on, somebody. We'll serve the Lord. God loves you. Yes, he does. John said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're cold and indifferent to the things of God, that's okay. Because God can lay his finger on your heart and to begin to massage your heart and just say, hey, I love you. I love you. I sent my son to die for you. If you're hot, he doesn't even have to worry about it. He doesn't have to worry about it. But it's when you're lukewarm. It's very, very dangerous. Well, you know, I do good on Sunday, but Monday comes. Wow. You know, I say my prayers before I go to bed and over my meals. Well, bless your heart. But do you know who you're talking to? Coffee? Sure. I like it hot. And I like it cold. But I don't like it lukewarm. What happens when I taste my coffee and it's lukewarm? I go, I'm going to spit it back in the cup. Waitress comes by and says, can I heat you up? I say, please do. Please do. Pour it in. Because it's got to be either hot or cold. God can work with that. But lukewarm makes him sick. As our musicians come back today. Today, this culture, this society needs the fire of a hot church. A flame with the power of the gospel and the fire of the Holy Ghost. Today, this culture, this society needs the authenticity of the church in fellowship, connected, loving everyone as Jesus commanded. Today, this culture, this society needs a spiritual encounter. They don't just need another trip to the church. They need a spiritual encounter that would transform the lives of anyone present. And cause them to fulfill the divine destiny that God has ordained for their life. That's what we need today. You say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You say, let me ask you a question this morning. What do you say about your walk with God today? Are you ready? Are you on fire for God? Are you satisfied with where you are in your walk with Him? Or do you recognize that the Holy Spirit has read your email today and you need to hear these words? Let me just tell you that before any message ever hits this pulpit, it hits the heart of the leader first. It's the heart of the leader first. There's something wrong when you look at your cell phone at the end of the week and say, your screen time this week was. And you go, what? That can't be true. But you realize you go through every passing day, you can't keep this out of your hand. Your screen time was what? There's no way. I didn't hold this thing for 6 hours. Really? Because every time we saw you, you had it in your hand. Every time you sat down in front of your wife, you had it in your hand. Every time your kids were trying to talk to you, you had it in your hand. So where's your passion? Where's your fire? What is it that gets the fuel of your life, the passion of your life? Jesus said it this way. He said, but seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Could I have some prayer people? Pastors, would you come? Elders, would you come and just stand across the front here for a moment? Come on, just come. Just come and stand across the front, because I'm going to bring you some people right now that have said, Pastor, you're absolutely right. I found a check in my spirit today, and I just need to get some things in order. Just need to get some things in order. Stretch out your cross here, if you would. Stretch on out. Just come on, stand to your feet as they begin to sing. Come on, step out. I know the Holy Spirit. When I came in here today, I knew what was said is true. There is an anointing in this room today. There's an anointing in this room today. An anointing that says to you, come on. Maybe you've been serving in the church all your life. Maybe you're on staff. Maybe you're a leader in the church. It doesn't matter. Would you come and would you allow someone just to lay their hand on you and agree with you for what? What am I praying for, Pastor? I'm praying for the fire. Somebody say fire. I'm praying for the fire of the Holy Spirit to touch my heart. How about it, young people? I'm praying for the fire of the Holy Spirit to touch my heart so that God can use me powerfully in this day. First person out, it's a teenager. Come on. First person out, it's a teenager. Come on, just step in front of one of these. Well, what about social distancing? He said you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll receive the fire. Okay? You can social distance after we pray for you. Come on, step out of your seat. Just come if that's what you need. Just come, just for a moment. I need the fire of the Holy Ghost, Pastor. I need the fire of the Spirit of God in my life. Just come. Just come. Go ahead and sing it, guys. Listen to what you're singing. Listen to what you're singing. People today, we come before you. Lord, we examine our hearts. We give you those areas, God, in our lives that we've allowed just to weaken, be cooled off. And we ask you, God, to bring the fire of your presence. Cause us to be hot for you. Cause the message of the gospel to be a flame on our lips. Cause discernment to rise up in our lives. God, let us discern the spirits that we encounter each and every day. Let us be willing to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, signs and wonders. Let us lay hands on the sick and see them in this evil day recover. Because, Lord, we know that if we allow you to burn within us, it'll be less of us and more of you. We repent of sin and indifference. We repent of sin and indifference. God, forgive us for spending our energy and our time, our money, our resources on things that don't matter. Help us to be a ready people to walk in the fire of your presence. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you for an online audience today. I pray you do the same at home for those who are watching, those who are on the phone, those who are on a laptop or a cell phone. God, speak to their hearts. May the fire of your presence burn in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Give me 5 minutes or so, would you? Sing that today over your life. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Sing that over your family. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Sing that over your children. Today I'm honored to be standing with a couple of missionaries. And they weren't planning on being here. I found out they were in northeastern North Carolina. And they were scheduled to be here like in, was it March or February? April. They were scheduled to be here. And because of doing online only for a season, we canceled all of our special guests. But I want you just to hear just a window. This is a missions window. I want them to open the window of their hearts and tell you what God's done in their life and what he's set them apart to do. And would you make a warm Carpenter Shop welcome and an online welcome to the Thompsons. Mariah, come on. I said, do people come up to you all the time and say, Mariah Carey? And she says, yeah, that's pretty much what they say. So listen, go home, talk to somebody today, say, hey, guess who we had at our church today? Mariah Carey. All right. Mariah and Kevin Thompson today, missionaries to Central, if you can look at the continent of Africa, Central Africa, in a place called Cameroon. We welcome you to Ahoski today. Yes.
Hey, man, we're glad to be here with you guys. Thanks for opening the doors to your church for us to come and to share just briefly with what God is doing in our life and what he is going to do on the continent of Africa through us and your partnership. So my name is Kevin Thompson, and this is not Mariah Carey. I did not marry Mariah Carey, but anyway, so we are Kevin and Mariah Thompson. We are missionary associates, meaning we are going on a 2-year term. It's our first term as missionaries, but what that also means is that we are training for lifelong missions, okay? While I was in the Teen Challenge program, does anybody know about Teen Challenges? Anybody? Teen Challenge. I was in the Teen Challenge program. God put on my heart the 1040 window. The 1040 window is a region of the earth. It is a portion of the earth within the 10-degree latitude and the 40-degree latitude that is hostile to the gospel. Hostile. Predominantly Muslim. Predominantly Middle East areas. It includes India. It includes Chad. It includes a lot of areas in Africa, I think 17 countries in Africa. And one night I was praying through the countries in the 1040 window, staying up all night while I was in Teen Challenge praying, and God laid a heavy burden on my heart for the unreached people group of Africa, of Africa. In Africa, there's 867 unreached people groups, never reached people groups in Africa that don't have a chance to hear the gospel message. Many of them are raised Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist, and they don't have a chance. I learned that the Great Commission calls us to go and make disciples of all nations. And it was a personal mandate. It was something that God laid on my heart specifically to go and to minister for the rest of my life in Africa. For the rest of my life. And we have just begun this journey. I'm 28. She's 26. God has just given us this mission. He has called us to plant the church where it does not exist, to nurture the church where it is young. And that is what we are called to do. The church is planted in Cameroon, 15 unreached people groups, 3.5 million lost in Africa. And God has called us there. But how? How can someone as young as us, as someone young in the faith, can go and reach 3.5 million people? How can we do that? Well, if we look at Scripture, Acts chapter 19, we see in verse 10, the Apostle Paul, for 2 years, ministered in the hall of Tyrannus. Acts 19:10. For 2 years, with a handful of believers, local believers, all of Asia heard the word of the Lord. All of Asia. They estimate 3.5 million people in Asia at that time. A handful of believers. So the local church has always been God's chosen vessel for the redemption of his people. Redemption of mankind has always come through the local church. If it was not for this church, many of you would not be here. Many of you would not be in a church at all if it was not for the local body coming alongside and nurturing the body of Christ. And God has called us to do that, to go to Cameroon, to partner with them, to see them to grow, to become leaders and pastors in their local communities. It's a funny thing in Africa. In the Assemblies of God, they require you to plant a church before you can go to seminary. That is because their goal is to have a church, healthy, vibrant, Holy Ghost-filled church, within walking distance of every African on the continent. Because many of them cannot go. They cannot go. I close with this scripture. In Romans chapter 10, there's a passage that I typically like to read. And as God was ministering to my heart during the sermon, you guys are blessed to have Pastor Wallace, that you get to hear him every Sunday. That's awesome. Awesome. We are revitalized. We are revitalized in spirit when we come to a church that is mission-oriented, that is mission-focused, that cares about the lost, and that continues to work toward that end. We are encouraged by that. We encourage you to continue to do that. Romans chapter 10. Typically, I read verses 13 to 15, but God was ministering to me, so I'll just add a few more verses here. Picking up in verse 11. Romans 10, 11. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In Cameroon, the Fulani people are an unreached people group, currently employed by military organizations to destroy Christians, to kill them. This is happening. In a country where Christians are allowed to coexist, this is happening. And God's arm is not too short. He can reach these people. But we need people to come alongside and to help us as we go. Verse 14. How can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. God has called us and sent us out, but we cannot do it alone. We need partners. We need people to come alongside to undergird us, not just financially, but prayerfully. But prayerfully. Prayer keeps us in Africa. Money gets us there. We need people to come alongside and support us. There's an African proverb. It says, if you wish to go fast, go alone. But if you wish to go far, go together. We invite you to come with us on this lifelong journey to the African unreached people of Cameroon. If you have any questions, we'll be at the table right as soon as you go out in the foyer. Please don't hesitate to ask any questions that you have. Call us anytime. Our phone number's on there, and we will be back.
Praise the Lord. Give it up for the Thompsons, would you? I'm excited today. You guys can go ahead to your table. Missions at Carpenter Shop is a personal thing. Somebody say personal. That means that you don't have to write a check to CSIC today. You can if you like. But we would like for you to go by their table. That's going to be your offering today. Go by their table. In fact, some of you that are in the back, go ahead and start that way now so we won't get a bottleneck here. Pick up a pledge form. That means that you can put on that pledge form, yes, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. I'll give $20 a month or $50 a month or $5 a month, whatever God says to you. I want to partner with this couple so that they can stay on the field. And they'll communicate with you. And there's a place on that form for you to put what church? What church gets the missions credit for that? We don't have to have the money to funnel through here. So you can give it straight to them, and they'll give you their missions account. You can do it online. But partner with some, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart today to invest in the lives of this couple in their 20s, responding. I'm just thankful that people are still responding to the call of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Still saying, yes, Lord, to missions. So go by their table, pick up a pledge form. If you want to make a commitment right now, that's fine. Write your commitment down, give it right back to them. They'll give you a little card that you can put on your refrigerator so that you can remember to pray for them. And just go by their table and say hello to them and leave an offering on the table. If you want to give something today, leave an offering on the table. They'll tell you how to write it out, okay? God bless you guys. Have a great, great, great Sunday. Amen? Have a great Sunday. God bless you. We love you. Let's just stand and slowly be dismissed there. Go by the table as you go out. God bless you.